It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? I'm so glad that you've joined us today. We're studying the book of Revelation, and we're going to begin reading with the 13th chapter, and we're going to begin reading with the 16th verse, 16, 17, and 18 of the 13th chapter. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you would like to send us an email, that would be at parkviewbible, just parkviewbible@gmail.com. Now, I hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study today. Revelation chapter 13, beginning to read with the 16th verse. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Let's begin with prayer before we start the study. Father, I just thank and praise you for the opportunity to use the radio and the airways to proclaim your precious word. We enjoy having these wonderful studies that we may just go step by step and slowly study your precious word, whether it be in Revelation or one of the other areas of Scripture that we're enjoying the study. Please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us and help us to understand a simple understanding of your precious word. It's so important, dear Father, that we do spend time in your word, spend time with you, spend time in prayer. Please, that we study your word. Don't just read it, but we study it, and we enjoy the study. And we do that as believers in Jesus Christ because we've come by faith to the Lord Jesus. We're born again. Once we believe, we have that personal relationship. And it is a personal relationship, Father. And so you know the day that you meet Jesus. It's not just by going through a catechism or being baptized or something like that. It's you inviting him in, believing that he is your Savior. And that comes with the Holy Spirit, Father. You give us all the means, all the way. And so please, just guide and lead us that we come to salvation. And then once we've come to that day of trusting in you, then the joy really begins, because life really begins, and we begin to study your word and learn more and more about you, how to serve you, how to praise you, how to honor you. So please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us now today as we have this study in the book of Revelation, in this end of this 13th chapter. And I just ask you to guide and lead, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, that 16th verse begins and says, he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now, it comes the same part of it here, and it kind of all goes together. No man can buy or sell, save that he have the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And so there's going to be a time during this revelation, this time of tribulation, that it's going to be a most awful time, and folks will be forced to take the mark of the beast. As we look back in Revelation chapter 4, and you know, since we're in the book here, it doesn't take but a second to turn back there. Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was like, to look upon like a jasper and a sardis stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. As we look to the scripture and we see John looking and seeing our God and the surroundings around it, what a wonderful time to look at the scripture and enjoy that. The sad thing is that what is coming is a time, at this time it pictures the rapture. That's what this fourth chapter begins with here. It pictures the church being raptured and going up into the presence and seeing the Lord Jesus. Today, there are very few farmers, much fewer than there were 10 years ago, much fewer than there were 20 years ago, 30 years ago. The number just continues to reduce. The farms just become bigger and larger and very productive. Our farmers are the most productive people in all the world. They are capable of feeding multitudes of people. But with fewer farmers, what's going to happen when the day of the rapture? I know many of those farmers, and many of those farmers are saved. They're born again. And so when the rapture takes place, those farmers will leave. They're going with the church because they are a member of the church. Not a member of this church necessarily, but a member of the church. They are born again. So when the rapture takes place, they'll be leaving. So with fewer farmers than we have today, which are much fewer than the past, you have to realize that that's going to result in food shortages, rationing. And as we look at the sixth chapter, verses 5 and 6, it says, and we've studied all this, and when it had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. He that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, a measure of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Famine, rationing. We know it's coming. And it's going to be happen very easily just because of the absence of these farmers. The land does not necessarily have to become less productive. It could. We sure could see a drought, and a drought consistently over a very few years means no crop, nothing. And so, however it takes place, whether it's because of fewer farmers or because of a famine that's a worldwide famine, we know that there is going to be rationing. What a better way, what a better time for a leader to come in and take control and say, take my number, and I will see that you are fed. Take my number, and you get the number here. And the number we know is 666. So we look at that number and realize that if you're going to eat, if you're going to have any opportunity of food, you're going to have to take the number. Has there ever been a time in history that people accept numbers as much as they do today? When you use a credit card, when you go to do anything, they ask for your last four numbers of your Social Security. I love that the Social Security was never to be any kind of a identification tool, and yet it is constantly used as an identification tool. We're used to numbers. More so than ever before, we're used to numbers. There will be no rejecting this number. You will be commanded to take it. You will be demanding. They will demand you that you take it. Those who refuse to receive it will not be able to buy. They will not be able to sell. And if they refuse to worship the beast that's connected with this number, they will be put to death. That is what's coming. The scripture here in the 16th verse tells us small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, small and great. Doesn't matter if you're the most humble person or the mightiest person, you will be required to take this number. It doesn't matter if you're a millionaire or if you're the poorest man on the earth, rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you're going to be free or bond. It doesn't matter if you're an American or if you're living in communist China. It doesn't matter. You will take the number of the beast in order for you to do any kind of business, to live in your home, to buy electricity, to buy any kind of food, to buy fuel, to buy anything. You have to have the mark of the beast. No matter who you are, you will be forced to receive this mark. It's either going to be on the forehead or on your hand. There will be a worldwide system. All food will be put into one pot and given out as the beast sees fit. This will be during this tribulation period. It's going to be a foolproof. There's going to be no fraud in this because you can't fake it. You can't. You either have the mark or you don't have the mark. There's no escape. There'll be a certain amount of food for each person. There will be a daily allotment and no more. And as we looked back here in this sixth chapter, we see, I beheld a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the wine, the oil and the wine. There is a religion involved here. It will be the religion or the kingdom of the devil. Now today, many refuse to accept or recognize the kingdom of God. But they will recognize and be an active part by taking the mark of the beast. They will be an active part of the kingdom of the beast. Those that receive the mark of the beast that it's referring to here in this 13th chapter will never be saved, can't be saved. They will never be forgiven, cannot be forgiven. In that day, those who eat will join the kingdom of the Antichrist. They will join the kingdom of the damned. If you do not receive the mark of the beast, you will be able to, for a period of time, to hide in the forest, to hide in the mountains, to hide in the ditches, to hide. In order for you to eat, to feed your family, you will beg, you will borrow, you will steal. you will eat from anywhere, anyway, whether it be from the fish in the rivers. You'll go to hunt. You won't be able to buy any ammunition. You won't be able to do any of those things. But you will have to figure out how to catch game so that you can eat and feed your family. But eventually, most are caught and put to death. There'll be a few that will survive. They that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. That's not talking about salvation. That's talking about just literally the hand of God is going to protect some, and they're not going to have to go through death to get into the presence of our God. They will survive all this, and they will walk into the thousand-year reign of Christ. But that's where that scripture comes from. Many people think that you're just working and working and working, and hopefully, just hopefully, I'm going to be okay and I'm going to be saved. But you see, this isn't talking about that at all. This is talking about this most horrible time during the tribulation period. And those that it will endure, they're going to be saved. They're going to be okay. There'll be a few that'll survive. After the rapture, after the church is gone, the tribulation period starts. Different than today, the church and the state, the church and the state will be together. They will be together. They're going to lock arms in one accord, in full accord. They'll be together. The dragon will dictate the policies of politics and of religion. He will make his last great effort to overthrow God and control all the kingdoms, whether it be heaven or earth. He's going to fail, but that's what he's out to do. Individual thoughts, individual rights, all will be crushed to the ground by the iron hand of the beast. No matter how rich, how high up, or no matter, all must bow to the false Messiah and pray to him or pay with their blood. You will be put to death. You cannot survive or win. Now it says a few. You can't win so far as the earthly things are concerned. Let me read once again verses 16 and 17, and then we'll begin with 18. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And then it says some wonderful words. It says, here is wisdom. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, 666. We have a lot of men that have had all kinds of ideas about this mark. But you know, today there are so many people that mark their bodies. They have tattoos every place. We've never had a time that has been so severe, and we're not to do that. Now, if you're saved now and you've got a tattoo when you were lost, there's nothing you can do. It's very expensive to take it off, I understand. But please, don't get a tattoo. It's against the Word of God. It is something that the devil, I believe, will use. There's, again, so many different thoughts about it. But the marking of the body today is very common. The book which tells of the beast and his mark is not a book of riddles, but of revelation. It's an unveiling, making known the deep things of God. The revelation is given to John by the Holy Spirit. It's not the work of some man like many believe. It is the Word of God. It is the work of God. The Spirit said, "Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number." That's what it tells us here in the 18th verse of chapter 13 of Revelation. "I give you understanding," God says, "so that you can understand, so that you can figure it out." The number is the number of man. That's what the 18th verse tells us. 666, three sixes. God's number is 7. Worked 6 days, rested on the 7th. 7 is the number of divine completion. 6 is man's number. 6 is man's number. Man was created on the 6th day. The devil is an imitator. He has his trinity: the beast, false prophet, the dragon. So now we find 3 sixes. The devil is an imitator. 3.5 years is the time period. It's a 7-year tribulation, but the last 3.5 years will be the devil's. Jesus' ministry was 3.5 years long. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God," starting his public ministry. The devil, halfway through the tribulation, goes into the Holy of Holies in the temple, the Antichrist. There's 3.5 years left. The devil's an imitator. Every child of God is sealed, is marked. Ephesians 4:30, sealed until the day of redemption. Revelation 7:3, Revelation 14:3, and 22:4 tells us of being sealed. And let's go back and look at these. I don't want you to just believe that's what it says. Revelation chapter 3, chapter 7, verse 3. "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." 14:3. "And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth." That is the seal that we read of earlier. 22:4. Revelation chapter 22, verse 4. "And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." Back to Ezekiel, Old Testament. Ezekiel chapter 9. Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4. "And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof." The devil is an imitator. We find that the child of God is sealed. There'll be certain witnesses sealed. The devil marks his children too during this reign. They will be tattooed in some fashion or another on the forehead or the right hand with 666. Three numbers, the number of man, 6. They too will be controlled by the devil. We are controlled by our God. We are sealed by Him. We have His peace and joy. This is the age of numbers. Everything is done by numbers. It doesn't matter who you are or where you are. You're at the bank, at your job. It doesn't matter. You're a number. Always a number. People are very comfortable with that today. They didn't used to be, but they are today. They are very comfortable with the number. We need to understand that God is in control. And He wants all to come to Him and believe, but He does not force them. He gives them an opportunity. When the flood came, Noah had built the ark. All were invited to come. But only Noah, his three sons, and all their wives is all that went in. And then we know that the Lord had Noah to save the animals, twos and some in greater number, for sacrifice when he finished, and even for sacrifice, I'm sure, while he was on the ark. The opening was there for all to come, but only that handful came. And then when the time was up, God shut the door. Man didn't shut the door. Noah didn't shut that door. His boys didn't come and shut the door. God shut the door when it was time. So will the judging hand of God come. Evil will literally destroy itself. You know, so often today when someone comes on a shooting spree and shoots several people and kills several people, what do? They turn the gun on themselves. What's going to happen here with the judging hand of God? God knows. The open door is there. It's time to come to Jesus Christ today. But if you refuse the Lord Jesus and you go into this tribulation period and you refuse the mark of the beast, you will need the Lord Jesus to get you through that. You may make it, you may not. You may be murdered and slaughtered. But you will be in the presence of Jesus. But if you take the mark of the beast, then you are the beast. You have joined the kingdom of the beast. And as his evilness grows, you will find that there's a point in time when God will come and judge this evil. And it actually, it's God's judgment, but the evil destroys itself. The world will be very quick to believe a super man, a super leader. They did not believe the Son of God. They did not believe they needed Him for salvation, but they will believe this world leader. They'll follow Him. Some other things that's kind of interesting in closing this section about the six. You know, remember the story about David and Goliath? Do you realize Goliath was 6 cubits high? He had 6 pieces on his armor. His spearhead weighed 600 shekels. Six. That's in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 4 through 7, if you'd like to read it. Remember Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel? Remember the image that was this built? He had the dream, and then but through that process there was an image built. It was 60 cubits high. Isn't that something? It was 6 cubits wide, and there were six instruments of music. So the people could come and worship. Actually, it wasn't so they could come and worship. That was the sum. They summed them. They called for them to come and bow down to this image. 60 cubits high, 6 wide, and 6 instruments called them. Man. It's all about man. The devil wants to take everything out of the presence of God. Boy, don't we see that today. But God is alive and God is powerful and God will bring judgment. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?